because this is her birthday coming up. And when she was born on November 17, in a few days, I was not a Christian. I was a pastor, but I was not a Christian. And I knew I wasn't. And I was a heathen. And I had no relationship with God, even though I was a pastor and went to seminary and so on. But I looked at her and realized, well, since she's a girl, and I'm a fake and a liar and a phony and fraud, she'll probably figure me out and then love me, and then she'll be disappointed when she finds out who I really am. Because if you love somebody, you kind of copy them and follow them. And I'm such a fake and a liar, consummate liar. I've lived my whole life without God. And I don't want him. I don't need him. And I never want to be a Christian. They're hypocrites and liars, and I don't want to be one of those. They're never happy. Whereas I was totally happy sinning. I loved sinning. I enjoyed it. I didn't do the kind of thing you think of young people doing. I didn't do any of that. Because my reason said, you don't want to go to jail. You don't want to have the girl's father make you marry her or something like this. You don't want to have all those diseases. I mean, you don't want to do bad things that people are doing my age, but you don't want to do that. So anyway, at that point, though I was a pastor and I preached really good sermons because I just plagiarized my background, and because I, at Yale, I was the top student. I was top, and I had a master's. I had all kinds of things going for me, so I had postgraduate work even. So I wanted to get 7 degrees so I could be smarter than a Jesuit that I knew who had 5 PhDs. And so I said, I got to get 7. He might get another one in the meantime. And I'm able to do 2 at a time. I always had double majors in everything I did, even from high school. And I was talented, so you have reliance on your brain, on your... I had no emotions for anybody. I didn't love my mother, my father, my 3 fathers. But the 3rd father at least took me to church. So I went and, you know, all I did was pass notes to a friend of mine and so on. So, I mean, I was not there to listen to anything. And I never remember anything. So just behave yourself kind of thing. I never did. And I deliberately didn't want to do it. So I always broke all the laws. Whatever they said. Anyway, on the day that I saw Cara, I realized she's going to now love me because I'm a fake and a phony, but I can't last very long. And pretty soon my true nature will come out and she'll figure me out. But probably I got a year and a half. And I said, no, okay, make that 2 years. So I drove to the garden down here, the botanic gardens, and it was snow on the ground. It's probably 4 or 5 inches. And that's a lot of snow. But the gate was open and they didn't shut it. And no one was in there. There's no tracks in there. I'm the only one in the garden. And I'm going to bawl God out for giving me a girl. And so when I went there, I kneeled down in the snow at the, they have a rose garden on this side. And it just, you go right in, turn right, and right there. So I went there, and I said, God, you know I'm not a Christian or a believer. I'm sure you're not even real. But I'll assume you're real. I'm going to now give this girl back to you, and I'm going to hold her up. And I don't know why. I just raised my hands like there was an altar. There's no altar there. I just imagined. So it's your fault for giving me a girl, and you know that I'm bad. You know that I'm no good. You know that I'm worthless. And I just pretend everything, lie about everything, cheat. I do all that kind of stuff. And steal. And if I if I give her to you, then I'm going to blame you for giving her to me. You should have given me a boy. I could rough him up, and so I'm good with boys because they're bad like me. And so I'm okay. I'm okay. But David is not, actually. I guess he learned from Kara and Kirsten, you know. But he's sweet, nice, kind, and so on. He did a few naughty things, but not too much. And so he was the ideal for my wife. She could look to him kind of growing up, and taking care of things, so on and so forth. Because I was totally selfish, 100% selfish. And you know that's a sin. Did not love any neighbors, did not love my parents, did not love anybody in my family. And so I did not. So I said, I'm going to hand her to you, and it's your fault then if she turns out wrong, because I'm not going to keep her. I'm going to give her back to you. You gave her, I'll give her back. Then it'll be your fault that you did wrong. So you'll be the guilty one, not me. How many know that's not Christian? But I wasn't a Christian. I never pretended like I was. So I handed her over and said, you know, here she is. And so, you know, I'll be a fake for a while because I always am a fake and a liar and so on and so forth. And then she'll figure out that I'm not what I say I am. And so I'll be ruined for the rest of her life. And then I'd be charged with that. I'm charging you because you're God. And you are supposed to be good. You're supposed to be kind and all that kind of stuff. And so I'll blame you. So anyway, that and I never remembered that I said those words. I'll give you 2 years to make me a Christian. If you're really God, like they say you are, and I'm a preacher, I know all the head knowledge, but you're just not in my heart at all. So you're irrelevant to my life. If I make it, I make it because I survived. If I don't make it, I don't make it. I don't care about this life because it's not really that good, and I know I'm a worst example. I'd be the horriblest minister you ever had. So I will. Because I'm always thinking of jokes and so on and so forth. I'm just a happy-go-lucky person. And, you know, I don't care about anybody, about anything, and I have no values at all. None. Just take care of me. So that day, within the 2-year period, which I forgot all about, I forgot about the 2-year period. And so She did. She's a perfect child. She blew her flute every morning and played the piano and cleaned up the kitchen. And, you know, she did everything. She was perfect. And then at school, she went to a Christian school and they taught her verses. She knew all the verses. She got all the 7 ribbons that they handed out, all of them. And then the next year, she got all of them. And the school then secretary or whoever it was that ran the school said, We can't have this. This is a school. We're trying to teach them that everybody is worthwhile and so on. So you can't have her. So you're going to give you 1 ribbon from now on. You can't have all the ribbons. And so she had them on the wall. You know, they were right there. And so she was totally a wonderful child. The other kids had to live up to that. And, you know, she was hard to meet because she was perfect. And I had a little desk at home like they had at school. I bought a little desk. And then here's how you sit, like this. And then you, if the paper is there, you have to write on the top edge here. So she wrote her name, and she did all this. And she had her books under. They had to be neat, just like you do in school. So she'd be the perfect child. Attitude, everything was perfect. Then the last thing, wherever the teacher is in the room, you don't ever listen to any other student, whether they're joking or laughing or whatever, you'll just look at the teacher. So she would do like this, and she'd do like this. And so Peg then was the example. You be a student and try to disrupt what she's doing, and she won't do it because she's a Christian. She loves Jesus and so on and so forth. Now, I wasn't a Christian. But anyway, so then she couldn't look to this way or this way, and Mom would try to tease her and so on and so forth, pull her hair or whatever. Probably didn't pull her hair, but whatever she did. Because Peggy's always good. She's always great. So she'll see her frown on the mother's face after a while and realize, this guy is no good. and I'll be caught, you know, because she already knows I'm no good. And I'm honest all the time. If she said, do you love me? No. Do you ever think about me? No. Do you ever care for me or anything like that? No. So don't ask if you don't want to hear the answer. If you want to hear the answer, then I don't care about you. I only care about myself. You're just an object of my, you know, just make me happy all the time. And if you don't do it, I forgive you ahead of time. So that's as much as I can do as a Christian. So I was a lousy pastor. But nobody knew it because I was a fake. I was a play actor. And so I got away with it. But within 2 years, I went to Scottsdale, Arizona. And the Sisters of Mary, who were the same faith I was, and so I just criticized them for the first 3 days. I just criticized them. They're so legalistic, and they're German. So if you did something wrong, raus mit ya! You know, so we'd start all over singing again. Somebody's off tune, and so they're just legalists, and they were women, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to be a woman, and I'm not going to be part of their deal. And so then on the third day, you had to go to bed. I've already told this story. You had to go to your room at 9 o'clock and then pray at a prayer bench. So they had a little prayer bench there, but it was just wood. And then they had a little cross on there like Catholic sisters do, you know. So you had to pray to that thing. I said, Peg, you're a legalist. Could you come down and do this? Because it's hurting my knees. I don't like these prayer benches things. It's like horrible. But at least they should pat them. So I was critical of anything. Anything. I was just critical of anything. That's the first thing I learned in school, to be critical of everybody else, you know. And you're not like a truck driver. Hey, get out of the road and so on and so forth. You're just a decent, civil person. So I faked it my whole life. I just faked everything. But deep down, I knew I was no good. Anybody like me? One, two, three and a half, two and a half, three. So four or five. All right, so I grew up and a fake. I was a total fake because I could swear if I needed to swear in one group. I could then say Jesus in another group. I could do anything people wanted me to do because I was an actor. And I was in plays and all that kind of stuff because I never was a person. There wasn't any person to me except to myself. And I knew I wanted to be great, glorious. I wanted people to breathe when they see me walk in the room kind of thing. So I wanted all the worship. And I was nothing. We were poverty stricken. We had nothing. My dad made $4,000 a year, so didn't make anything. But I knew a guy at college who made $60,000 just from drawing pictures. Well, that was one of my gifts. Hey, I'm better than he is. But I didn't say that to him. But I said, they pay you $60,000 a year. And I thought to myself, my dad only makes $4,000. So he only paid for 2 years of college. Now you're on your own. So I had to go out and work. And then I went to a business. And I'm clever. So I realized what you have to do, because they drew convertibles to this indoor lumber yard. First one in the world. First one is out of Chicago. And that I worked there, and he said, what do you know about thus and so on? So, well, because I'm educated. I had 2 years of college. And they realized you could be like us and have, you know, red convertibles and go skiing and so on and so forth. And if you just stay here. So I that's good. So I was over the electrical department. I was over paint and so on and so forth. So it's just like Home Depot, only this was the first one ever. And so it's an indoor where you can just drive in and get what you need to get. And, you know, you're not out in the inclement weather and the snow and so on and so forth. So that's what I was going to do. And so I knew life is not what you know, it's who you know. So these guys wanted to train me to be them, so that they could go and ski and so on and so forth. So I was okay with that. So I made more than anybody else because I knew the union guy in the electrical union, and he taught me all about you know, what you have to do and so on and so forth. So I'll be that when I grow up because they make good money. And so then after that, I realized something happened to me. I went out to these sisters, and they prayed about everything. They didn't do anything, just prayed. And then food would come in and all kinds of things. And I thought, well, that's probably not realistic, but still I have the food here, so just eat it. So I was selfish. And so anyway, so I was critical of them, and I knew the whole 3 days all I could do is criticize them and think, you know, I don't agree with that. But I liked the book I had read, which made me go there to see how they live, because I know you have to have firsthand knowledge of what you're going to do and be. So now I'm a pastor, and I was good because I cheated and I lied. And I was good. Even if I got caught, I knew there's a way I can get out. Because if they're Christians, because it was a Christian school, you can just cry and they have to forgive you. And so I would just go, I'm sorry. And so the guy bought it. He was the dean of the men. And so he bought it and he said, well, you can have your library, because I brought library books, probably from here to the wall was my room. And I hid all those books behind the rug. We had a rug and heaped that rug over it. So you couldn't see them. And so she's old, so she doesn't really know what's going on. So I probably had $10,000, $15,000 worth of books. And I didn't want to return them because you have to pay a fine. We didn't have any money, so I don't want to do that. And so I just learned early on how to steal things and do all that. So I'll tell you the whole story. It's stupid. But anyway, then one day they noticed that a speaker was coming who was going to speak on Roman Catholicism. And I thought, hey, because I'm here in the library and I can do anything I want and I've stolen all those books, I'll just get that book and be ahead of everybody. I want to be somebody. And so I'll be ahead. So I'll know about this Roman Catholicism thing. And so I stole it, but it wasn't checked in, unfortunately. I didn't check that. So then they said, somebody might have stolen this book because it was here on the desk. You know, so the librarian then said, yeah, we got to go up and check all the rooms. Probably a boy. So they checked the rooms. There it was, right there, right on top. I was reading it. And so I was in class, so I didn't know about it. It said, the dean wants to see you. Uh-oh. So I'll play the trick because Christians have to forgive you. Right? So I knew that about Christians. Even if you didn't listen and didn't pay attention, they have to forgive you because they're Christians. And so I went down there and cried for the guy, and he was impressed that I was sincere. So I was a complete fake phony. My parents didn't know what I did. They didn't know how I did everything. I did everything wrong. And nobody knew it because I didn't do anything that would put me in jail or fine me or something like that or kick me out. And I thought they could send me to prison. I didn't even know what they do when they kick you out like that. And so when he let me go back and be in the library because I cried like that, I thought, these Christians are so sappy. They just don't know, you know, how wicked I am. But too bad for them. You know, so I took advantage of Christians. And did you know that's still going on in the world? If people take advantage of you, they'll do something on a Sunday while you're at church. Like the people that stole our car the other day. You know, they just stole the Lexus out of our driveway and that was my favorite car. And the people in Dallas paid for that. So, you know, they wanted, you can't drive, a Volkswagen. So you have to have something in Dallas like a BMW or something like that. And they said, we're gonna do something really good and you'll be proud of that. So I was very proud of that. And so this little kid came and fooled Peggy one night because Peggy's kind and nice, talks to the neighbors and so on and so forth. And so I said, man, that person could, you know, kill you or do any bad stuff to you and so on and so forth. Don't ever trust people. I don't trust anybody. Now, I was a pastor, and I knew in the Bible, that was the middle part of the Bible, and it said, trust no man. Trust no man. Trust in the Lord. Well, I didn't, but it said that. And then it says, trust not princes. Don't even trust politicians. Okay? Don't trust them either. Trust in the Lord. So I knew that scripture. And so this guy, Peggy, told him, and by the way, my husband is a pastor. And so we have church in the morning, church at night, whatever. And so he came at night, was sitting on the curb, because the neighbor has one of those camera things. And so the neighbor knew what this kid was like. And he was sitting right there waiting for us to come home. And the minute we came home, 6 minutes later, he's on the highway. It's just that quick. And he ruined the neighbor's yard because he didn't know what he was doing because he was only 16 years old. And so he did all that, got away. Now, that's what I deserve because I left the keys in the car. No. He broke a window in my house. That's breaking and entering. He broke a window, but then he couldn't reach the key because we had another lock on it, so he couldn't get through. So then he went around to the laundry room and broke that window, and he could get through on that window. And I know this guy is bad. This guy is bad. I used to be bad, but now I'm a pastor. So how many have been like me? Is anybody like me? Danny, thank you. And so I was a bad person. And so, but I preached on Luther's sermon because he said, you're not saved by works, you're only saved by faith, right? You're only saved by faith. Wow. Didn't know what that meant, but by faith. It meant you can't see it, so believe in it, that you can't see. In fact, everything in Christianity is not seeing, except the Bible. That's all you have is that book right there. And we live by not by bread alone, but by every word that constantly is coming out of the mouth of God. But you can actually hear him talking to you every day. And by the way, that happens to me now. So every day I hear God. Every day, without exception. But I spend 5 hours from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. I spend all that time in the Bible confessing my sins because I'm a real Christian now. But that's because Kara, being born like that, I realize, wow, this Christianity, because when I was at that house, I went out in the hall like you weren't supposed to do. And Peggy said, you can't go out there. There's a curfew. Well, then they'll go to hell like me. So they're not going to be out because they have to pray at their little prayer bench. And so if they're there, they'll go to hell just like me. So don't worry about it. So I'm walking up the hallway, and all of a sudden, when I'm halfway there, I knew that I knew that I knew that there was a God. And he loved me, and I immediately loved him. He visited me. I didn't visit him. I didn't climb Jacob's ladder. I just didn't do anything. He was seeking me out and saying, that person needs help. that person is no good, and he's already a minister, but he's a phony, lying minister. And so I realized, wow, what are you going to do? I'm in love with him. And so I said three things. God, you love me with all your heart and soul and strength, unconditional. Two, Jesus is your son. He died for me. Three, it's to the death for me from now on. From this day on, I will never be Jim again. You'll be under new management. The Lord Jesus Christ will be my Lord forever. Well, when that happened, because I didn't do anything to get that. I didn't want to be a Christian. But when that happened, it destroyed me on the inside, and I fell in love for the first time. Not people, nobody. I didn't love anybody. But for the first time, I loved Jesus, and I knew I'd have to love everybody, just like Jesus said, without any thought. Don't ask questions. He's the boss. He's the top person. And I loved him. Then the next day when we flew home, after that, I brought out my Bible. even though I was a preacher of the Bible. I knew it with head, but I didn't know it with heart. But now I have a heart. And I wanted to read it. For 6 hours, I sat outside in the sunshine and started reading the Bible. That's the first time I ever studied. I never studied anything. But I really wanted to know, what does the Bible say now that I'm in love with the living God? Did you know the true and living God wants you to have not only faith in that word, but trust in God himself and have a visit to you that is an experience that you cannot deny? There is a true and living God. Well, that's me forever. It will never change. And so the fact that you have faith doesn't always result in that you're changed. You can have faith, but you can be witchcrafted after that. I'm going to read about that. You can be witchcrafted when you have faith. This one, there's no witchcraft, because I didn't believe in God and witchcraft. I didn't believe in anything. I just believed in something I could see. But now I'm in love with Jesus, and I realize from now on, there is no gym. You are dead to this world. You are alive to God in Christ Jesus. So from now on, when I got to Texas, because I wasn't in Texas then, I was in Texas at that point. But then when I came back, I knew. And our church began to grow. And I didn't do anything more than what I was always doing. I didn't change. But I said, now, God, you promised to keep your promise. You not only made a promise, you promised to keep me. Not just keep the promise you made, keep me. And you don't have to change me, because you're going to have to completely redo me. It's what we're going to remodel. You have to make me in your likeness and in your image. He did. And when he did that, I realized, wow, I've never been kind in my life. I've never been gracious. I've never been loving. I've never been anything. I was cold, you know, toward anybody. I only thought about me. Is there anybody else like that? One, two people. So when you do that, you know that you cannot save yourself. I knew that I cannot save myself. And I knew that you cannot improve yourself. I read that too. It's head knowledge. Now it's heart knowledge. So I realized, God, if you keep your promise and you said you would love me till the end, and the good work you began in you, the good work you began in you, you will surely complete, finish, perfect. Wow. That is another scripture, 1:6. So that's another scripture right there. I read that. Wow. So if you have to keep your promise, I don't have to keep my promise to love you. I do love you, but I don't have to keep my promise. I've been pardoned forever. Wow. I can just walk out of my jail cell and not worry about anything from now on. I can be peaceful, happy, because God's at peace with me, and he doesn't see any of my sin. He only sees my heart. And he says, your heart is pure. He gave me a new heart. And so I knew it in my head. Now I knew it in my heart. And I want to be the best Christian you ever had. I want no one else, no rivals. I'll be the best. And so I said it, which is foolish. But because I wasn't the best, I find out sin was still in me. After I'm born again, got baptized and so on and so forth, still in me. So there's a little bit of lag there between faith and works. Did you notice that? So every week I preach to you. You don't know it, but I preach to you every week. I preach the law that condemns you, and then I preach the gospel which forgives you. Every week. Every week. That's all I say. I don't have any bad news for you. I only have good news. You're bad, God is good. You're bad, God is good, and he's already died for you. He's already forgiven you. Everything is okay. Your heart is right. And I'll give you a new soul someday. That's a promise in the future. And I'll give you, that'll be the second coming. First coming is when I was born again, filled with the Spirit. But every day, the Holy Spirit was filling me. So I not only believed in him, born again, but now I also was filled with the Spirit every day, which killed me, removed all my sins. And not only that, he wanted me to be perfect in love before he comes back. Not when he comes back. Before. Wow. That's a big deal. If you want to be perfect, you'd have to do this whole thing. this whole process here. And so you'd have to have faith and have faith and have faith. You'd have to be glory from one degree of glory, chair 5, to another degree of glory, chair 6. You'd have to be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So this is my personal story. And it all happened because Carl was born. And she was the wrong person, but she was the right person. Because she never knew, because by 2 years I was a Christian. And so all she knew was a, well, I couldn't say perfect person, but she knew an imperfect person. But little kids don't want to have imperfect people. So they think their mothers and fathers should be good, right? Well, I wasn't. But slowly God began to remove all my sins. And I realized, hey, I need to learn this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. 9 fruits of the Spirit. So I need those things, and they don't come from earth. I know that. So they come from heaven. So you'd have to give me the love that I don't have. You'd have to give me the compassion that you had. You'll have to give me the joy. You'll have to give me the peace, that long suffering. You'd have to give that so I can forgive everybody and love everybody. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the end of the law, but the beginning is worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. Chair 4. So chair 4 is me having faith in God because he pardoned me. That made me happy. Do you know happiness leads to holiness, not the other way around? So most people think, hey, if I'm holy, then I'd be happy. But if you know anybody like that, they're not. People that are keeping the law of God are miserable. Because there's something in everybody here. Even as a Christian, you still sin every day. Until Jesus comes back, then you have a new heart and a new soul and a new body. New walk. And I realize, wow, if that's the case, God, you better do it all. I don't want to just start out, because it's not he who begins. You have to endure to the end. So you have to suffer. So I want that. Okay, whatever it takes. God, if you see any wicked way in me today, just point it out. You're not pointing it out so I'll do it. You're pointing it out so that you can keep that promise. So I consent to that. Do whatever it takes. Kill me if you need to. I don't care. I'm ready to die for my faith. I'm ready to be poor for my faith. I'm ready to give away everything I have for my faith. I'll do anything you say. That's a Christian. And I notice a lot of pastors aren't like that. I don't know why, it's just kind of an observation. That I notice most people don't spend 5 hours a day with God, or 10 hours or 12 hours. I do. Every day, I'm looking up all the Greek, all the Hebrew, all the Latin, everything I can do. Every day. It's kind of fun. Because then you understand that the Bible translated into English is not always accurate. So I've taught you this year about repentance. Repentance doesn't mean stop what you're doing and start behaving. Repentance means don't do anything. Just believe in Jesus. To him that worketh not. Okay, to him that worketh not. That was this one here. This one here. Maybe I'm just a sinner. Maybe I'm a hypocrite. Don't even pay attention to those. To him that worketh not, but believeth. But don't do that. Don't keep the law. Don't keep the law. Jesus already kept it for you, and now he forgave you. So now, believe on Jesus, and then become a disciple, and then he'll take away all your sin. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you from all. Wow. I believe this, that he died on the cross for me. Now I have to believe this, that he can disciple me, and when a disciple's fully taught, he'll be just like the Master, a loving father, a loving person. And then you'll be in the bride without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. Wow. So I began to think about that. About, wow, God, I want to be the most perfect Christian ever. Well, I know I can't be that. But just do whatever you do. Whatever you promise, I'm totally into it. And I don't have any fears of anything. People can hate me, misunderstand me, judge me, criticize me. Doesn't bother me at all, because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Just go back to being a 2-year-old, 3-year-old. And so I believe that little kids in this church learn that. If you learn that right away, you'll sing it in the back seat of the car. Jesus loved me, this I know. And they don't even know what they're saying, but they like the tune. And they'll just sing it. And they're happy. Did you know most people don't grow up that way? Most people go, this is a Christian, full of Christians in this nation. We're the number one group. If you were wanting to be president, you'd want to have Christians on your side. Same in Israel. The Messianics now are the swing vote, just like Ohio is the swing vote. If you don't get that, you can't be president. So everybody knows all these things, but the world is changing, and you know someday, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's my whole vision, my whole truth. I want to live the truth. I want to die every day to this world, and I want to just love Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So because of that, I don't take myself seriously. I used to take myself very seriously. Now I don't take myself seriously because I believe I don't have any fear of being a sinner because I already was one, and I don't have anything of being a hypocrite because I always knew what I wanted and what I felt and what I wanted. And I always had a strong will. If you taught me something, I just will it. Strong will. That you cannot do with God. Your will is bound in this world. You love God, you hate the world. You hate the world, you love the world, you hate God. It's simple. If you're either born of the Spirit and you're not anymore born of the flesh, I mean, you were born that way, but now you've converted. And you're now completely in the hands of Jesus. I believe, Judy, as you believe, that everything is on my side. I believe that God loves me just the way I am. And he doesn't want me to improve. He wants me to die quickly to myself. Quickly to myself. How many believe that God wants you to have no sin in your life? Because Jesus does that. And no sin in your life. None, none. I can be just like Jesus, right? He says so. I want you to be like me. I want you to look like me, but I want you to act like me too. And I don't need a rhema. I don't need anything. I don't need anything but this word right here. I just read the word. And this is a description of me. This is a description of me. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are everything. In other words, wow, that's exciting. But it doesn't. You can't see it. I can't see that I'm growing. I can only see that I'm growing. But I didn't have anything to do with it. Jesus did. So he wants to not only live your life for you, which you never lived, and then say, you can't die now. So it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So every day I experience that. Every day I'm so amazed that we have a shower. Because I grew up without a shower. We just had the outdoor toilet thing. And then we had the little pump thing. And so we didn't have any plumbing. We didn't have anything. But everybody in the neighborhood was like us. I mean, it was a poor neighborhood. There were Polish people, Czechoslovakian people, Russian people. We had all kinds of Bohemians. Everybody was there. And the only thing I remember from that was the kids would get BB guns and play King of the Mountain, you know, who would be king. And he had to pick off other people coming up. And so, but the parents were all in the beer house hall, and they met there every Saturday night. And we kids just had BB, and I got still wounds from that time. Because we had all kinds of things. Anyway, so kids were... They were just like, what do they call that, our gang or something like that, little thing. We were like that. And just, because the kids were free. No locks on doors. You could walk into anybody's house at any time. Can I have a drink of water? Yeah, help yourself. You know. So you just, you know, just not like the world today. The world today, you have bars on your windows and you know, all kinds of safety things and so on. So now, I want to read the scripture. Because I just told you what I do every Sunday. Every Sunday I preach the law, then I preach the gospel. Every Sunday I preach the law, then I preach the gospel. So let's start out with the gospel. Okay, the fifth chapter, Galatians. Chapter 5, Galatians. I love this. So powerful. Verse 13, chapter 5, Galatians. 5:13. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. How many know that? You're free. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, to serve the flesh, but by love serve one another. Wow, there it is. He's telling you now the second part of the Ten Commandments. The first four have to do with God. God wants to have peace with you. He initiates it. You don't try to find God. He finds you. You understand with that? God had to find me as a sinner. But then he did something to me and ruined my whole life because I couldn't sin any longer. I'm in love with him. And if you love somebody, just like Kara would love me, she would love me for no reason at all because she didn't know anything I was like until she grew up. But I became a Christian. And so we had a fun time. And so life has been wonderful ever since I didn't even know what happiness was until I became a Christian. Then I fell in love. And I never loved anybody. I didn't love my wife. I didn't love anybody. I didn't love my mother. I didn't love my father. I didn't three of them. I didn't love anybody. I didn't trust anybody. So I was ahead on the game because I'd already been real, meaning I was always myself. Said what I wanted to say, do what I wanted to do. Do it the way I wanted to do it, and nobody ever caught me. My parents didn't keep. They only see that I didn't wash the dishes or stuff like that. You just get a spanking or something like that. But I deserved everything I got. So that affected my whole life. But when I fell in love, that's it. I fell in love with Jesus. I knew that God was in Christ reconciling, having peace with, not an enemy now, you sinned against me, so I'm going to kill you. No, he's the opposite. You sinned against me, I'll pay for it. I'll pay your debt. I'll give you wisdom every day. I'll bless you. I never heard of such a thing. I didn't know Christianity was all about that, God keeping his promise, not me keeping mine. Because I know I was no good. I had no ability or any desire to love God with all my heart and soul and strength and my neighbor as myself. Did you know nobody's ever done that? When it's done now as Christians, you say, now as a Christian, I am doing that. You know how? Jesus did it for you. Jesus did it in you. Jesus is doing it through you. When men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven and they won't glorify you. Even though they thank you, you have to correct them and say, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. That was just Jesus. You just saw Jesus. And Nebuchadnezzar did that, and Daniel, and everybody in the Bible is a story like that. That the holy men weren't holy in themselves. They were holy because God acted before them. And when he does that, he can turn you into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness or long-suffering, and then faithfulness, and then meekness, and then self-control. What's missing today in the world? No self-control. But among Christians, we're self-controlled. Do you know that? We're not burning down the buildings today. We're not pulling down statues. We're not trying to remake America or the world or whatever. We're just, you know, just happy because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I mean, no, that's us. Did you know that love is stronger than hate? Did you know that light is greater than darkness? Did you know that true is better than false? Did you know that just is greater than injustice? And we were created as a nation, and John Adams said in the beginning, this government, this constitution we just made is only for a religious people and a moral people. Well, what do you have today? The opposite. So it looks like, you know, America's dividing into two camps. But don't worry about that. Did you know that God is in control of this whole world? Do you know he's the governor of the nations, America? It belongs to him. He owns all the nations. He's the governor of every nation. And so if he doesn't want Trump to win, he won't win. If he wants him to win, he will win. His vote overcomes everybody's vote. Everybody. If he wants you to have love, joy, peace, patience, it's possible because God able to do that through faith. 4. Then he'll get you to 5. Then he'll get you to 6. Then he'll get you to 7. Then you'll get your crown. And then you'll marry Jesus. And then you'll have an inheritance of the prize that's in the Bible. He has surprises for you every day. He surprises me every day, Danny. Every day he surprises me. Wonderful things happen. And that's why we have testimonies every week, so you can testify, hey, this was a wonderful week for me. Something bad happened, and then also something good happened. Everything you do, God will turn into a blessing. Everything you do. Did you know that? Because God loves you. He can't wait for heaven. He already starts heaven today. He wants you to be happy from this day forward. Who could stand up and say, from now on, I'm going to be happy till the day I die, till the day I'm no longer here? Amen. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Amen. Who else? Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Because this is God. He doesn't want heaven to be in heaven. He wants heaven to be on earth. As it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. You can't do that in heaven. You can only do that on earth because you're on earth today. That's before he comes. So you're the building he's building. And if he builds this temple, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's building this temple so that you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. You don't have that naturally. You could not be a natural flesh person. You'd have to be born again. I'm just telling you what Christianity is. Christianity is that Christians aren't like anybody else. No other religion. They're all under laws. We don't have any law. Jesus kept your law for you. And he lived your life before the foundation or since the foundation of the world when he was slain. So God had him already ready and he said, just stay here for 4,000 years. So when Jesus was ready, how long do I have to be dead like this? 4,000. Then after that, you'll be among relatives. And then, of course, they'll hate you. And so he said, and it'll be good. He said, Jesus, I don't care. I just want to do everything to please the Father. So Jesus was not nervous about it. And actually, Jesus has actually been here as Son of God. He's always been here, ever since he created the world. Jesus created it. The Father created it, and the Son created it, and the Holy Spirit created it. But this way they created the world, now they created each person, each person, each person. And every day, someone's going to say, he's Lord. He's Lord, not Buddha, not Hindu, not Confucian. You know, it's nothing. Jesus will satisfy, and everybody that doesn't go to the lake of fire, everyone else will be happy forever and ever and ever. I'm starting today. The rest of my life, I'm going to be always happy, right? Because of what? That truth is an objective truth, not subjective. I don't know if I believe that. That's subjective. You see, I used to live my life that way. Totally subjective. How does that affect me? Now I don't live my life that way. I just do what Jesus says. I'm under his management, and I'm happy. I was under the other guy's happy. I wasn't happy. But I thought I was happy, but I wasn't. Paul had that same experience. Paul is writing about this, chapter 7 of Romans. If you write about this, he would say, I gave you a law so that you couldn't do it. Remember? Here's the law. Be perfect as I'm perfect. Be holy as I'm holy. Be you righteous as I'm righteous. How many know he made himself the standard and nobody ever did it? No Jewish person ever did that. And the only way they could do it is by faith. The just shall live by faith. They did it by faith. They didn't have any faith in themselves. They had faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham saw this 2,000 years later. He saw Jesus' day and was happy. He rejoiced. I see him coming. Now, that doesn't make any sense to intelligent people today. Too bad for intelligent people. Because you know nothing. You know nothing about the truth. So you can be happy from this day forward. And if you say it, you've actually halfway there. Just say it. I am a Christian. I'm going all the way with Jesus. And I'm going to have a happy marriage. I'm going to have everything. But it's all up to me to love my wife as she is. I'm not trying to fix her up. I'm not going to try to fix up the world. I'm not going to do anything. Jesus has already done it. And if you act, your action will be sin. I'm reading you that right now. I'm reading it to you. I'm going to say this again. For brethren, you have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love and serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Say that. Amen. Say it again. I'm going to do that. You're going to do it from now on. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means love the neighbor the same way you love yourself. It's built on selfish. But you're not selfish. You're a Christian now. You're a new creation. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You know what's happening to the Democratic Party right now? They're devouring one another. I don't care what you think you say. God told me this. They will, the same scaffold that Haman built for Mordecai, he ended up being on it and his 10 sons being on it. The same snare that you laid out to catch a bird, you'll fall into the same pit and you'll be caught by the net. Anything the enemy does will never work. Suddenly darkness. I don't know what happened right there. I guess I shouldn't have been so excited. Did you turn that light out? No? Anyway, can you see me? So I'm hearing. Why, I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And I didn't do it because I did it. He did it. And he did it for me. He did it in my stead. He did it as a substitute for me. He knew I couldn't get a home run. So he substituted for me and I got the home run. So God wants you to believe every word that Jesus has ever said, because it's always no benefit to him. This is just heaven. He's from heaven. He was sent down from heaven, and he always does what's pleasing the Father. And what's pleasing the Father is I want you to love everybody. Love your neighbor as yourself. So every neighbor that he met, even the people that hated him, even the people that wanted to kill him, he loved them to the death. He spoke the truth to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my soldiers, my followers would be soldiers, then they would bribe you or try to get me free and, you know, use swords to fight you, lest the enemy turn me over to you. But I'm not worried about death because I can't die. I'm Jesus. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cannot die. They have life in themselves, eternal life. You can't take it away. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I hope I'm reaching somebody. I don't have to reach everybody, but if I could reach somebody, it'd be powerful, is to realize you could be just like me. Bad beginning, but wonderful ending. How can that be? I'm giving hope to people that have no hope. People that get COVID, or I don't care what your problem is. You don't have any problems. You only have one God. And that God has said, I wrote my name on you when you were conceived in the womb, and I will never let anybody be a judge over you. I'll be the judge. I'll decide everything. So you'll hear him say these words, well done, good and faithful servant, go to my right hand. And he'll say to the those on the left, into the lake of fire, bind that man, hand and feet, cast him into utter darkness. Wow. They'll be in darkness forever and ever and ever, right? Because they chose that. God knew before he sent them there. He knew they will never believe in Jesus. So the bulk of the people, we're only a small handful on this side, but we should be the happiest people. We should be in the most gracious people. We're the ones that are favored by God, and he can't change his mind. He even loves these people over here, but they hated me without a cause, he said, because I love them. I gave them the same thing everybody else could have. But only these, a little bitty remnant. So they're the chaff I'll blow away. They're the ones that'll end up in the lake of fire, and the fire will burn them up. But it'll be an everlasting fire. Ours will be an everlasting eternal life, and it never stops. Wow, I like that message better, don't you? I mean, this group is going to be end up and say, how'd we get here? Well, I don't know, you did it. You must have hardened your heart. You must have been like Jim when he was young. Yeah, I think I was. And you know they'll confess Jesus Christ is Lord before they go. They'll confess that. When Jesus comes back again, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll have vengeance for the wicked, deliverance for the righteous. That's exciting. How could it be any better? Why did he do it? He didn't do it. You did it yourself by not believing his son Jesus. Because he looked stupid. He looked like he didn't know what he was talking about. I like these words. They're crazy when you read them, but they actually lead to life. Whereas the law will say it's for life, but it's never for life. It's always for death. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is that a promise or is that a command? That's a promise. For all the law is fulfilled in one word by Jesus. I'm adding that. By Jesus, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus did that for you. He did that. He loved all your neighbors. He loved everybody. He loved everyone. When he was on the cross, he said, it's finished. Tetelestai. This is I'm bringing the future into the present right now. I've finished everything I was called to do. Now it's ready to go home. A week ago, God said to me, I wrote it in the Bible. A week ago, God said to me, you're finished. He's not talking about death. He's talking about the assignment I gave you, you cannot do. I want to do it myself, but I thank you for just trying your best. Because what I did was I couldn't find out how to start the whole thing. And I have pages and pages and pages, but I couldn't know how to start it. And I said, God, I'm not saying it right. I've read all these other books, and now I know all these books and so on, but I don't even know how to write that first sentence. And then he kept revealing things, and I thought, hey, this is it. But I write the sentence. I can't do it. Then he said, well, that's because I wanted to do it. I didn't want you to do it. Oh, I didn't understand that. I thought you wanted me to do it. That's what I thought. How many know your thinking is stinking? There's nothing to it. Your thinking doesn't know anything. My words are not your words. My ways are not your ways. The things I do, if I say I reserve that for myself to do, you can't do it. I reserved it for my son to die for you. Now you can't die. You cannot die. If you believe that, you have it. That's all it takes. Just if you believe it. And then you'll see what you believe. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You'd have to be born of the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So just start out with language. That's me, God. I'm walking in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So there's a battle in heaven. You don't know this. There's a battle in the heavens. And Israel's Michael, he's the angel over Israel, he's already been satisfied. You know why? Because Harry Truman, years ago, back in the 40s, late 40s, he actually became, he said, I recognize Israel as a nation. Now, Trump then took the capital and made it Jerusalem by putting his embassy there, and now he did exactly what Israel wanted. That's what God wanted for Israel. I'm not mad at Israel. I'm not mad at anybody. I've always been a loving father. Teresa, he loves you as much as he loves your husband. Even more. Do you know why? Because you're the woman that gets the blessing and he's the man that bears the burden. So I don't know if he's complaining about it, but I think he's got a perfect wife, right? And my wife is perfect. And Danny's perfect. And Leah's perfect. You know that every one of you are perfect in God's sight? Because his son did something. Faith is active in love, but faith in Jesus is active in love. Faith in Jesus is active in love. So if faith is active in love, it's because Jesus is the actor. He's the one that acted. God was in Christ acting. And he acted on your behalf, for your benefit, for your blessing every day. Every day, the scripture says every day, he daily loads us with blessings and benefits. Wow, every day you have them. You can't count them because they're invisible. Well, I saw this happen the other day. Okay, you saw it a little bit, but you didn't see it total. You only saw it partial. So what you see partially is encouraging you. But what you see totally will be when it's all done. So when the wicked are in the lake of fire, they'll realize it's all done. You can't pray for them then, unless God said so. I mean, I'll do anything God said. But I'm praying for them now, because now Israel needs our help. Now the world, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. I know that's in the Bible. So whatever Jesus said, the best is yet to come. So could Trump win the election even though everything's against him? And there's no way you can get there. Ugh, silly when you say that. God can do anything he wants. He can reverse anything he wants. He can resurrect anything he wants. So he can even lose and still win. But why should he win? I don't know. I don't control him. I don't even suggest anything more in the suggestion box. I don't tell him. Now, God, if I were you, you know, and I don't tell him because I'm not him and I'm not going to pretend like I'm him. I just do whatever God says. And God can make you do something that you don't want to do. How? I don't know. I don't know how it works. I just know it works. So I don't even think about it. I just do it. Just do it. Amen? So I love everybody here. I hope you know the love, but you don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference to me. I did it. If you like it, good. If you don't, no problem. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. But if you be led of the Spirit, which we all are, that's why you're sons of God, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now I'm going to read these really quickly. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I guess even the Holy Spirit got tired on that one. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're all going to be on this side, the dark side, now that it has light. The dark side on this side. Okay, so here's all the darkness. But God can at any time shine light on anything. And if you pray, God hears your prayer. If my people who are, what? Humble themselves, that is, not playing like your God. If you humble yourself, he can show you, you have religion, but you don't have a relationship with the living God. You didn't have an experience of the living God because you're personally his child, and that's why he sends you the Holy Spirit. Not just because you go to a meeting and, you know, the music is going and so on and so forth. It's actually God is visiting you and convicting you that you are guilty before God, but you've been forgiven. That's not just faith. That's something, the fruit of faith. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. That's what God wants to give everybody here so that you have the same experience I had, not better, not different. Just the same. God wants to visit you today. So that ladder that he put next to Jacob when he was leaving because his brother was going to kill him and he went to Paddan Aram. When he did that, there was a Jacob's ladder pushed right down and somebody at the top was holding it because otherwise he couldn't climb Jacob's ladder. I am climbing Jacob's ladder. No, you're not. That's for angels to come down, and that's how Jesus came down and talked to him and said to him these words. You see this land that you're part of? I'm going to give you this whole land. The same that Abraham, your grandfather, got, I'm going to give it to you. So today it's called Israel. No longer Yaakov, Jacob, James. You're no longer Jim. You are now a new creation, That's pretty exciting. And he didn't ever climb that ladder, because when you get halfway up, you're going to wiggle a little bit. And you're going to fly off because the wind's blowing up there. How many know that? So he came down. Angels aren't bothered by that at all because they know exactly how to come up and down. But Jesus came down and talked to him and said, "This land is yours." Wow. That faith is what they had, and it led to all this fruit. All this fruit. Everything that he did here is wonderful. Now I'm going to read you the verses I wanted to read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, pistis, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Did you know that? Against such there is no law. If you have those nine gifts, they're just gifts from heaven. You don't pay for a gift. Gifts from heaven. If you have those nine fruits going, and you already have them, just use them. You have that. Say it. I have love. Say it. I have love. I have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not like joy on the earth. I got an odd job or I got a beer and I'm happy. No, it's not like that. This is unconditional. There's no condition to this. It's a gift and you just get it right off because you have a new heart. And so if you believe that, you're happy. So to say, I have peace with God, capital P. Now I have peace with my neighbor because I have peace with God. He's not mad at me, so I'm not mad at my neighbor. So now I can love my neighbor. And I don't have to love myself because God already loved me completely. When he died on the cross, then I can't die. Good for you, Jesus. So when you died, I died. When you were buried, I was buried. When you rose, I rose. I have eternal life in me. Now, my soul has to die. How does that die? If you don't die, you can't live. If you don't die, you can't be resurrected. If you don't die, you have to die. And when Jesus causes you to die, you realize, I just die quicker every day. I just die quicker every day. So I forgive everybody. I don't care what you've done. I'm not judging your behavior. I'm only judging your heart, and I can't. So I just can't do that. Jesus is going to do it. And I trust Jesus because he loved me. If he loved me, he could love anybody. I would say I was the worst sinner in this church long before I met Jesus. I was the worst sinner. Why? Because I was totally proud. I was totally self-confident. I tried to be a hill of beans. I never became a hill of beans. Jesus did the bean thing. He figured that out. And he figured, Jim is not capable of doing anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If apart from me, you can do nothing, then you are nothing and have nothing and aren't anything. But in Christ Jesus, I'm everything. He is my all in all. So when a disciple is fully taught, he'll be like the master. Chair 5. When you're fully taught, you don't just stay there. You go on to perfection. And his perfect love will then perfect you so that you have no sin, nothing blamable. Nothing about you will be perfect. I believe all three of those. I believe he created me, and I believe I did all these bad stuff. And then I believe he forgave me. And I believe then I can comfort myself every day. Tell Israel to comfort herself. Her warfare is over. Her sins have been forgiven. It's done 700 years before time noticed. So this is so powerful. So these fruits of the Spirit are awesome. And I probably have used up all my time. Have I used up all my time? Do you want me to do a little bit more? Can I do a little bit more? How many would like me to carry on because we've lost half our members? But don't worry about that. I want to read some things here that is often. This is so powerful. Okay. Knowing that a man, verse 16, that is not justified by works of the law, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law. A man is not justified by the works of the law. So anyone has a law, you have to do it. You're forced to do it. God doesn't do it. So laws will never go to heaven. Only this law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, have set you free from the law of sin and death. That's the only law. The law of liberty, That's the only law. Even we who have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, his faith, and not by the works of the law, because he's Son of Man. So that's his faith. But for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found to be sinners. Therefore, Christ, is he the minister of sin? Question. Answer. God forbid. For if I build again the things that I destroyed earlier, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. Say it, I'm dead to the law. That I might live unto God. Say it. That I might live unto God. I'm dead to one thing so I can live another thing. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So he's different lives here. I'm crucified with Christ. If you're dead, you're dead. You don't have any life. You're dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet not I. I'm not talking about my old I. I'm talking about the new man. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And since he did that, now I'm free. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Don't just stop at chair 4 that Christ died on the cross. Don't stop there. Foolish Galatians, foolish. You're foolish. A fool says in his heart, there's no God. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? So there it is. That's the good news and that's the bad news. Now you know all the sins you can do. They're all listed above. Big, long list. It could go on and on and on. It's like the ones I have up there. You can have all those sins. When Jesus says, I forgive you, then you're forgiven. It's finished. Your sins are done. The high priest has gone. He is now your high priest. And if you change the high priest, you've changed the law. The reason we don't change the law today is because wicked people are among us, and we did it by not following our founders here. Did you know the founders here created America to be the model for the world? It's not. The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching. Huh. They tried it, and it didn't work. That's why I think Trump will be reelected. Because God's going to get blamed for it. Christianity didn't work. They were still pagans, and they're still heathen now. Wickedness is everywhere. Corruption is everywhere. I don't believe that. I believe it's nowhere, even though I can see it. I don't go by what I see. I go by what he said. If he said he died for the sins of the world, he died for the sins of the world. What's wrong then? Us. You and I are the reason. Because you're not hot. Zestos. You need to be full of zeal of the Lord of hosts. Go all the way with Jesus. How many are here ready today to go all the way with Jesus? You don't have to even understand it. You just want it. It doesn't make any difference. God doesn't care about what you think and feel and want. He just says, how many here? It's just, yeah, I want it. I want to go all the way with Jesus. Why? Because what they need is one real church, one congregation somewhere that's a church. You're not a church alone. You're a church with others, two or three. I'm there. So you can do it in a parking lot. You can do it in a jail cell. You can do it anywhere you want to. Just see one other person. You're a church. So Jesus ruined the whole idea of the Jewish idea. You have to have 10 men to make a synagogue. You don't need 10. You just need 2 and maybe 3. Because then the one could say to the other one, did you see that? Yeah, I did. That's it. That's all he wanted. You know, it's it. You got 2 witnesses to that. Or 3. Wow, 3 kind of really, really settles it. So how many believe that you could be happy for the rest of your life? Because Jesus can't lie. Let God be true, every man a liar. So I've preached my sermon. I'm happy with my sermon. I thought it was a great sermon. Because it only showed you how simple this thing is. I did nothing to be a Christian. God visited me. He initiated it. He was the one unilaterally to say, Jim, I love you. even though you're a very bad and naughty boy, and you're going to go to the lake of fire. And terror used to strike me before that happened. Terror used to strike me. I would see the world, whole structure of this world, perishing, burned up with fire. I would see the embers, you know, like a church that's been burned out. I would see all that, and I would wake up like this, and I would scream to Peggy, "Peggy!" Of course, she didn't see it. You know, and say, "Well, what? You have another nightmare?" "Yeah, I did." So he actually scared me to death during these nightmares, because I'd have monsters following me around. I would do it, and I'd have to fly. Just fly. I mean, I did. I went right over the buildings and so on. And then I had to go really higher because those monsters were coming after me and they were going to get me. How many little kids have those kind of things? I don't care what you do to them. There's a monster. That's a doorknob. That's not a monster. He's under the bed. He's under the bed. I don't see him. You want to come down and see him? No, I don't want to come down. They're there. And little kids have those. How many know little kids have those? And they're actually responding to fear is in this world, because they're not part of a faithful church like ours. You got to be in a church that believes that God can do anything and has done everything. So then people get mixed up and they get all confused. So what? I love problems. I love difficulties. I love something that doesn't want, you know, no one else is, I'll do it. Do it all alone. I think, Danny, you'd be with me. Leah, you'd be with me. So if I could do it, and anybody could do it. Teresa, you can do it. And Walter, yeah, praise God. Yeah. Yeah, you were there. A guy. So we could all do it, but we need to do it in such a way that you don't. You need to do it in a way that they see you doing it, but they know Jesus did it, and they'll know it right away. I knew you before, and you couldn't have done that. That was Jesus. That's how Daniel did it. That's how, you know, all the people in the Old Testament did it. They did it because God did it. And they got the glory for it, but they took the glory. They said, "No, I didn't do it. That was Jesus. I don't know how to interpret your dream, but Jesus does, and I asked him, and he told me." Wow. So wouldn't it be good that you lived in the Old Testament or the New Testament or church history? No, you live just like it is. It's never changed. Nothing has changed under the sun. Everything is exactly the same as at the beginning of the world. So just an individual. You're just an individual. Start yourself. Be self-governing. Be governing under God. Don't be governing under man. Otherwise, you're a slave. But when Jesus gets you, you know what he does? He immediately. If you're his disciple, he'll immediately set you free. He just does it. "Oh, I just bought you for a big price." "You did? How much did I cost?" $1 billion. I don't even know what that means, but good. "You paid for it?" "Yeah." "And I'll pay for everybody." He paid for everybody. So you can all be free. So don't worry, you've already voted. They're not going to re-vote. If they do, that's fine with me. But I don't care how God does it, but I think he loves righteousness. And I therefore can do that. How? I don't. Jesus does it. I give God all the glory. How many are ready for that? Who'd like one testimony? Just one testimony. Okay, second one. Second testimony. "I was blessed by what you did, Danny." That's good. That's good. That's honest. But you can just be truthful and say, "I will do it. I will do it." That's powerful. How about you? Will you get rid of all your sins? No. Yeah, you have to learn from that one. "I want to keep my sin." It's okay. So, all right. Your sins are forgiven. How many know little kids are, they have real emotions and they understand from the beginning. This world is, you know, among wicked people. This world is among wicked. It doesn't take you long to learn that. But it's learned by the time you're 15 or 16. You know it right away. But I think 2-year-olds know it. I think everybody knows it. This is not the world that God intended, but what he intended will actually happen. And he won't come back until you're ready. That bride will make herself ready, but actually Jesus does it. What he'll do is send you an invitation, which is a white robe. And everybody in that room will know he's a Christian. He was invited. Happy is the man that's invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll be just like everybody else. Then there's one guy that doesn't have the right deals. Cara. Do you need a microphone? Yeah.
I was about 45, and I had really believed God for something, and he didn't come through, but I thought that I was just angry with the person. But just in the last couple of weeks, God showed me that I was really angry with him, and I really had stopped trusting him way back then, 5 years ago. And I still prayed, and I still trusted, but he was showing me something this morning. Well, he's been showing me about a million things, it seems like, in the last just two, three weeks. So I might not get it all clear with you because it's like all jumbled around. But my pastor's wife in Virginia has asked me a question. She goes, "Do you think you're really saved?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, she thinks I'm not saved," because I was sharing something with her, you know. And so I went back to God and I said, "What's the deal?" And he said, "No, you trusted me ever since you were a little girl. You know, you did believe me. You did love me." He told me that back in February, because the devil's lying to me about that too. You know, "Do you even love God?" You know, and he's like, "No, you have always loved me." But he said Galatians 3 to me a couple weeks ago, or maybe even a week ago. He said that I began in the spirit, but then I was... He said, "Are you so foolish that you began in the spirit? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh?" And it was just so interesting, because when Dad was talking about the book that he's trying to write, or whatever he was saying a few minutes ago, and he said, I thought that I was supposed to do it. He told God, he said, "No, I was doing it. You know, I want to do it." And that's what I was thinking. I was thinking I had to be good. And then when I was 41 and I saw that I wasn't, I didn't know what to do with it. And I didn't know how to let him love me, and I didn't know how to let him do it, you know. And so when he showed me that a few days ago, I don't know, he showed me that I had a spirit of religion on me and a spirit of deception on me that I didn't know, and I don't know if I always have had it or if I just had it, because I knew I would used to be so in love with Jesus and so happy, and all of a sudden I wasn't anymore, and I couldn't even be excited about Jesus dying for me. I could say, "Thank you, God, for dying for me. Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you that you died on the cross." But all of a sudden, I just had no feeling about it anymore. I didn't know what to do, you know, and because I had really gotten mad at God when that person had passed away that I really believed for. But I didn't know I was mad at God. I thought I was just mad at the lady, you know, and I didn't know that I didn't trust him, and I kind of lost that. But he just started showing me things. And I'm not getting it clear right now what to say to you, but after I just asked God to deliver me from that spirit of religion and that spirit of deception that was on me, so all of a sudden I was able, that I hadn't been able to sing for about 3 or 4 years. I couldn't sing songs about certain things about Jesus, because all my life I had loved to sing, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And I don't even think I believe that anymore. And it just in the last, this week, after I got that spirit of deception off of me that I didn't even know that I had, and the spirit of religion off of me that I didn't even know that I had, I started singing on the way to my pastor's wife's house, and I was singing songs about the cross, and I was actually able to sing them, and I was singing about surrendering to God, which I have never wanted to give him every single thing. I wanted to give him 75% or 90%, but not ever 100%, because I was scared that I couldn't do it, you know. But he's like, I want to do it, you know, but I always thought I had to be perfect, and so then I couldn't surrender because I couldn't do it perfectly, you know. So anyway, you can pray for me because I'm just getting this, but I just know that since he started this, like Dad says, he who began a good work and you will perfect it till the day of Christ, that he's given me the desire to surrender everything to him. And I actually said those words the other day, but it's just working it in me, you know, to get the whole truth, because I've been listening some lies for 5 years that have gotten in there on top of the truth. And so he's just slowly peeling them back again, and so that I can see the truth again and believe the truth again and trust him again. But
all right. No, that's okay. Let's pray right now. Lord God, we thank you that your word is full of power, because it's full of love, joy, peace, all those fruits of the Spirit, which can never be retracted by you. They're ours. You did it objectively. You did it in such a way we don't need to think about it or understand it. We just know that you want to do everything for us because you're a loving Father. You've never been an angry judge. In fact, you will never judge anybody. You've given it to the Son when he rose from the dead to say, all authority and power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And I will then be the judge of everybody. And I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to know me. I want everybody to know I am the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. If you can work with us, you can work with anybody. It gives us hope that your faith and your hope and your love can conquer everything on this earth. Do that for Kara right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.